It's good to see everybody out this evening. It's always great to come together and study God's Word. It's a blessing as you always have the opportunity to come and be with one another. So one of the suggestions, as I had done the lesson earlier this year and asking for suggestions on lessons to be brought out, I've actually had some people just personally say they enjoyed how we went through the book of Hebrews and just taking our time going through that, and so suggested to do that again. But someone within that had suggested that, but also suggested that we do the book of Romans. And so that's what we're going to start working our way through, is the book of Romans. And so it'll take a little while probably to get through it all. As we work on them on our evening services. And so tonight's lesson is going to be more of an introduction into Romans, and I'll acknowledge right now that introduction to a book is not necessarily my forte best ability, but introduction, I'll plan on trying to do that tonight, and then we'll get into chapter 1 next week. But as we go into it, we'll bring quite a few things out here in chapter 1, and we'll re-go over those and throughout the remaining of the book also. But it's just, it is a good book, and some of the things can, as you're reading through it, can be difficult. But also we know that all things that God has given to us have been given to us so that we can understand and so it can help us. It's not there just to be there. So look forward to going through the book of Romans. So to start off, as we enter into this introduction of Romans, just simple points as we go through it. So the first point to bring out is it was written to the saints who are in Rome. And Romans chapter 1 and verse 7 brings that out. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. And so just a reminder, as we go through the book, it is written to Christians. It's written to the saints in Rome. And so as we go through it, it's a good remembering to, as we go through it, that especially Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, or even as you read it, the letters written to individuals, Timothy, Titus, Philemon, that they are letters. That this isn't a book format as it was written. And again, remember that it wasn't written in book, chapter, and verse when it was written. It was written as a letter. And so it would all just kind of flow together as a letter. As you write a letter, you know, and you're writing it, you know, dear so-and-so, and you just start off into that letter and you go forth. And so Paul does that as he writes the greetings, and then he gets into some things that he's heard that has taken place, and he talks about those things. But it is directly speaking to the brethren there. It is speaking to the saints in Rome and some of the stuff that is going on specifically there. And just because it is specifically to this church doesn't mean that it isn't for other congregations, right? As he writes them to them, we know that it makes application for all as we go through it. So it is to the brothers and sisters in Christ who are in Rome. Good question to ask might be is when did the church in Rome begin? There's really no scripture that tells us exactly who started it, when it began. There's a lot of speculation. A lot of the things I have read speculate to the point that Peter might have started it, but then it goes through and says there's nothing to back that up. Absolutely nothing to back up that Peter started the work here in Rome. But rather, if you use scriptures, what you will find is that it's possibly started with brethren who were there at the beginning when the church had begun in Acts chapter 2 and in verse 10, if you want to turn along there with me. Acts chapter 2 and in ververse 10, as they had gathered together before as the gifts of, or the Holy Spirit's about to come upon the apostles. Here in verse 10, it says, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belong to Syrian and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Syrians, Arabians, we hear them in our own tongues and mighty works. And so as the Holy Spirit came upon them, it goes and lists all the people that are gathered together at this common point. And there were those from Rome, those who were visiting from Rome. So as they, those who were visiting there, we know about 3,000 people get baptized here in this chapter. And so some of them could have went back to Rome, and that could have been the beginning of the church in Rome. Another points that kind of bring this out is that the congregation there in Rome, the brethren or work in Rome, has been there for a while at least. And so Romans 1 and verse 8, and this is just to bring out the point that the church isn't brand new, but in verse 8 it says, "First I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world." Again, that it wasn't a new congregation that no one has heard about yet, but that their faith and the work that has been done there has went out unto others. Others have heard about the congregation. Others have heard about the work there in Rome. And in verse 13, as Paul's writing this to them, and I know I haven't gotten to that point, we keep bringing up Paul's wrote it. I should have brought that out earlier on with the author, but that's our next point. But verse 13, it says, "I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles." And so as he goes here, he brings out that he's longed to visit them. For many years he's desired to go and visit them, to help the work there, to be encouraged by them, to pass on gifts to the Holy Spirit. And so it's just a point to bring out that the church has been established for quite some time. Another scenario that I didn't put up there was that possibly brethren that were scattered. As you read in Acts chapter 8, again, this would be connecting with Paul as he was Saul and making a havoc of the church. And after Stephen had been stoned to death, and right after that, you know, the brethren started to spread out. You know, as they went forth and dragging people out of their homes, throwing them to prison, they started to scatter, and the word of God went all throughout the world. And so, you know, the origin, we really don't have a specific detail on who started it, when it started, but here's some ideas on possibly when it possibly had started there. Next point out that we've kind of been saying time and again, but at the very beginning, Romans 1 verse 1 brings out the author of the book of Romans is Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Now, as Paul is the one that is saying the words, it is to take note in chapter 16 at the end, it does make mention that someone else is actually handwriting. It's not Paul who is writing the words. Paul has some assistance here in doing that. So Romans 16, verse 22, I know I butcher these names, but I, Tertius, who wrote this letter, greet you in the Lord. And so we have assistance in writing this. It's good to note these things as we go through, because you find the similarities of Paul's writings in Romans with Corinthians, Galatians, and Ephesians. That helps verify and make us say, well, that sounds just like Paul when you read it over here and read it over there. And the similarities it shows, and again, the evidence that's proved that it truly was the same person writing each of these letters. All right, next point to bring out is when and where was Paul when it was written? Again, I don't know that you can sit here and say exactly where he was, but there's a lot of evidence to go forth and say that he's possibly in Corinth, in that region somewhere in Corinth, possibly among his third missionary trip. And to help with that, let's look at here in Romans 16, if you're still there. Romans 16, and in verse 23, it makes mention of two names here. It says, "Gaius, who is the host to me and to the whole church, greets you. Erastus, the city treasurer, and our brother Porius greets you." And so as we look at these two names, it brings out that they were brethren that are in Corinth. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 14, here it reads, "I thank God that I baptized none of you except Christus and Gaius." And so here it brought out in verse 23 that this is the one that is hosting him, that he's staying with. And so in here in 1 Corinthians, it's making mention that he lives there in Corinth. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 20, it makes mention of leaving Erastus in Corinth. 2 Timothy 4 and in verse 20 there, Orestes remained at Corinth, and I left Trophimus, who was ill at Miletus. And so, in using those two verses there and putting together where these men are, kind of brings out the idea and mindset that they were in Corinth at this time and place. And so, just extra verses to help along with that. I have extra notes that I wrote down. I'm trying to remember. I believe you give this four-year period here that might happen between 55 and 59, more probably towards 57, 58, I believe is what a lot lean towards in there, in the time frame and when it was written. To help along with certain points when we're in the book of Romans as we go through it, it depends on what chapter we're in and what verses we're reading. It's important to know who he's writing to. Yes, to the saints, but whether Jews or Gentiles. And the point is that he is writing to both, that the congregation there is made up of both Jews and Gentiles. And so as you look in Romans chapter 11 and in verse 13, Romans 11 and in verse 13, it makes it clear here. It says, now I'm speaking to you Gentiles, and as much then as I am an apostle to the Gentile, I magnify my ministry. And so here Paul makes it clear that he says, I'm speaking to you Gentiles. You know, this is specifically a point that I'm making to you. And so again, that's important because as we go through and what they might be trying to overcome, the things that they have in their past that they're dealing with trying to put behind them, and the differences that the brethren had with, well, should you do this? It's according to the Gentile custom, or should they be doing this according to the Jewish custom? What is still binding, what is not binding, what should they do? And so Romans 7 makes it clear that there are also brethren there. There are Jews that were Jews from a Jewish background. So Romans 7, verse 1, getting into the law, and who would know the law but the Jews? It says, or do you not know, brothers, for I'm speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives. Who knows the law? The Jews would know the law. They should know the law. And so again, it depends on which part. So as we go through this lesson, there are going to be certain points that you can see clearly that he's speaking to one or the other as he's trying his best, of course, to make the point that we are all equal in God's eyes and that we need to all be just striving to obey him, that we're no longer under the Jewish law and that the Gentiles are no longer just going about and doing things the way they used to. And so all are under the new law of Christ that we are under today. And so next point I bring out as we go through the book of Romans is possibly a main theme, a main mindset. And there's actually two after I had already put the PowerPoint and restudying it and going over the lesson again. And so I got the point that I got up here, the main theme coming from Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Romans 1, verse 16 and 17, which reads, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, that is written, the just shall live by faith. And so the main thing would be here in these verses that the gospel, it leads to salvation. That we are not to be ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God to salvation. That is so important as we go through the entire book of Romans, as we continue to go through it, that we remember that the main idea is that it's about our salvation. It's about being saved. It's about leading us to God and what Christ has revealed to us. And so it's so important as we go through the book to remember that is the goal. The goal is that we get to heaven and that we put away the traditions of men, but put forth the law of the Lord. And so we need to remember that. And so if you don't think that would be a good theme for the book, then possibly the other theme, and I believe when I read this, I was like, I have to mention that because I feel like it really does go with Romans, is that God is no respecter of persons. Because again, as brought out, we have Jews and Gentiles as you go through and writing to the book of, to the brethren, to the saints in Rome, that he's continuously have to go one way or the other. He, as we start off in chapter 1, we're going to speak to the Gentiles. We enter chapter 2, we're going to speak to the Jews. But then we get to chapter 3, we're going to bring up the point that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so it goes forth in making the point clear that there is no partiality with our Lord. He's no respecter of persons. And so that's one of the things that we'll be bringing out as we go throughout the book of Romans. And so for my final slide, as we think about the book of Romans, I'm just going to bring out a few points, and I didn't write down the verses that go with these because we're going to be covering them as we go throughout the book. But just without, you know, digging deep into it, and I know if you get a commentary out and if you get a study book out, that it usually has kind of an outline of how the things are going to go through, and this is kind of my outline, but it's not listing the verses and when they pop up. It's just the things that I think of when I think of Romans, a verse that I'm pulling out of the air from Romans, because these are verses we just somewhat often use and think. That one, you know, as we already brought out here, Romans 1, 16-17, that we're not ashamed of the gospel. Another point that, again, we just brought out, all have sinned and fallen short. But as we talk about all have sinned, we go to chapter 6, it would be the wages of sin is death. We're going to be bringing out, talking about baptism and walking that newness of life, putting to death the old person. As we go through Romans, we're going to be continuing. Should one continue in sin, that grace may abound. Again, it's going to talk about how we are saved through faith as we go throughout the book of Romans. It's going to make that clear. Not saved by the works of the law, but do we continue in sin so that the grace will continue? And of course, Paul makes it clear that we are not to do that. It's going to make it clear that we're no longer under the old law. It's going to be talking about being transformed, that again, newness of life after we have obeyed the gospel, that repentance of our mind, the renewing of our mind, being transformed, and not being conformed to this world. or we can go in and talk about helping the weak and bearing one another's burdens, not causing one to stumble or even to the point of questioning what is a righteous judgment. And where do we judge, or where is a weaker and stronger brother? And as we get into chapter 14 there. Another one, you know, use Romans 10:17 quite often. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There's just so much in the book of Romans. And again, there's a lot to cover as we go through it. And can't guarantee that we'll cover a chapter a week or not. It just depends on which chapter we're going through and how much is going to be brought out. So that's my small little introduction into the book of Romans. It's not a common lesson that I often do on, to me, is more of a Bible class lesson there, because I wanted to see here any thoughts and comments to go along with that. But I hope that you look forward as we go through that, and you can read along and prepare yourself and what we'd be going through, just chapter some of chapter 1 next week, possibly the whole chapter. But we don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this evening. If there's any here that desire to obey the gospel, we always want to extend that opportunity. If you're here and you know the truth because you've heard and studied the word of God and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we extend that opportunity to come forward. And as you repent of your sins, you confess your faith, that you can come forward and be baptized and wash your sins away. If you're here and you have obeyed the gospel, but you've fallen short, you'd like the prayers of the brethren, you'd like to let it be known where you're struggling so that we can be there for you, whatever your need be, we let it be known.
There's a great day coming.